Chapter 11, we're going to read a few verses tonight and finish up this chapter. This is lesson number 58. We've been in the book of Mark now, 58 weeks, a little longer than that. If you have to take out when we've had visitors and been away and things like that. But lesson number 58, Mark chapter 11. We're going to read verse 27 down through verse number 33. And the Bible said, "And they come again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and say unto him, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask of you one question, and answer me. And I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say, Why then did ye not believe him? But if we shall say of men, they feared the people, for all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. And they answered and said unto Jesus, We cannot tell. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things." And the title tonight, and Schofield uses it as well, but I would just call it authority. These last verses in Mark chapter number 11 definitely have to do with the subject of authority. It's what it's talking about. And it's one of those passages of Scripture that you read and you look over and you say, well, what is that there for? What's the purpose of this passage of Scripture? What are we supposed to learn from it? Well, it has a lesson in here on the subject of authority. The word authority is used four times. It's used two times by the chief priests. In verse number 28, where they said, "And say unto him, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things?" So they use the word authority two times. And the Lord Jesus Christ uses the word authority two times. He used it in verse number 29, and Jesus answered and said unto them, "I will also ask of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things." And then he used it again in verse 33, and they answered and said unto Jesus, "We cannot tell." And Jesus answering saith unto them, "Neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things." So the subject, or what the main subject of this passage of Scripture, has to do with the subject of authority. And authority is a valid question. It's not wrong to ask by whose authority do you do this or you do that. To have authority just means this. It means to have a legal right to something, or to have permission to do something. And those, and I'm sure everybody here tonight, being Wednesday night, and you're interested in Bible study and what the Bible has to say. And I know we have a lot of Bible readers in here tonight, and Sunday school teachers, and you know about the history of the Bible, and you know about the Jewish people, and you know tonight that the chief priest and the scribes and the elders, they did have a right to ask. They had a right to ask. They had a right to ask because of who they were and because of where they were. Now, what I mean by that, the Apostle Paul, he's writing about his brethren over in Romans chapter number 9 and verse number 4. He's talking about his brethren over there, and he said, who are Israelites, talking about that they were Jewish people, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. And so he's talking about his brethren, the Jewish people, the Israelites, that they were the covenant people. They were the people that God had given the service of God to. It was up to them to take care of the temple and the observance of the law and the sacrifices and the priesthood and all of these things. They were God's chosen people. And so they did have authority to ask. They did have a right to ask. Here somebody comes into the temple and he's preaching and teaching. And so as God's covenant people, they had a right to ask. By whose authority do you do these things? And so that's not the problem that they ask the question. I mean, we could look at it like this. If you, as members of Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, if you came up here one day, or maybe if you came to church on a Sunday morning and for some reason or another I wasn't here, and there was a stranger here, and they said, well, I've come to preach and I'm going to take the service today. You would surely want to know, did Preacher Wynn send you? Or, you know, is he sick? And do you know him? Do any of the deacons know who you are? Surely you would ask. You would find out, who is this? See, you have authority. You have a right. You have a responsibility to do that. And so it's not wrong to ask, who said you could do this? By, that's what they were saying. By whose authority do you do these things? It's not right that they ask. It's not wrong that they ask the question, by whose authority? Authority is a legitimate question. So we want to point out some things about this in these verses tonight, five or six things. Number one, in verse number 27, there's assumed authority. Now, verse 27, the Bible said, and they come again to Jerusalem. We've already established that the Lord Jesus came on three separate occasions. This is the third day. He comes into Jerusalem. As he was walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Who came to him and asked these questions? The Bible said the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now, when we're talking about assumed authority, the word assume means this. It means to take with arrogant claims, to seize unjustly, to take to oneself. And the problem is not their rightful authority. Because as we've already pointed out, they did have a rightful authority to ask or to inquire about what was going on in the temple. But the problem is their assumed authority as they seen themselves as the only authority. That's what the problem was. They had taken upon themselves, they viewed their own selves to actually be above authority. They viewed their selves to be the final authority. They thought that they were the big cats. And they weren't even interested in why if God came and talked to them. Because God did come and talk to them. But they didn't want to hear what the Lord had to say. And that's the problem, is their assumption that they were the final authority, that they were above any other type of authority. They were not interested in the truth, although they came and asked the way, the truth, and the life a question. But they weren't interested really what the Lord Jesus had to say. They were not interested in what John had to say. See, when they're asking over there in verse number 31, where the Bible said, and they reason with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then did ye not believe him? But if we shall say of men, they feared the people, for all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. They didn't really care about the ministry of John the Baptist. They'd already not believed on John. And that was one of the questions the Lord Jesus presented to them. They were not interested in the Scripture. They were not interested in the Messiah. So when they come asking the Lord Jesus Christ this question, it's not that they were even interested in the answer. But what we find here, there's trouble brewing. And we realize, if you remember, we're talking about the last week in the life of the Lord Jesus before he goes to Calvary. And they're looking for an excuse to get rid of this man, Jesus Christ. They're wanting to trap him. They're wanting to trip him up. Now, it's interesting, and I've tried to do this as I've studied in Mark. I've also been reading what it's the same parallel scripture in Matthew and in Luke and in John, wherever it talks about the same thing. And as I was reading this morning and looking over in here in the book of Mark, all it says is that, and as he was walking in the temple. Now, as far as I know, it's not against the law to walk in the temple. It shouldn't get a man in trouble with the authorities just by walking in the temple. But I notice this over in Matthew. It says in Matthew that he was walking and teaching in the temple. But in Luke it says this, that as he taught in the temple and preached the gospel. That's what it says in the book of Luke. It wasn't just that he was walking or that he was teaching, but it was what he was teaching about and what he was preaching about. It says over there that he preached the gospel unto them. He was preaching concerning himself. And you remember in the book of Mark what began to change when he began to tell the disciples that he would go to Jerusalem and they would take him and they would kill him. He was preaching. He was preaching about those that come questioning and inquiring. They were not interested in the truth. They were certainly not interested in his teaching. They were not interested in the gospel. They were interested in their bank accounts. We remember back in this chapter, in chapter number 11, when Jesus cleansed the temple and when he dealt with the money changers over there in chapter 11, verse 17, and he taught, saying unto them, "Is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves?" And the scribes and chief priests heard it. That's that same crowd. The scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. They were going to lose business over this. Their income was going to... You know, the Bible is true. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 10, where it says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." There's nothing that people will not do for the love of money. They will kill, they will steal, they will lie, they will connive, they will turn their back on their family and their dearest friend. I mean, when people get a love of money in their heart, there's nothing they won't do to keep that, to protect that. And we find that these people here, these chief priests, these scribes, these elders, that's what they were concerned about. They didn't care about the gospel. They didn't care about the message of John. They cared about that their golden pot at the end of the rainbow is about to disappear. That's what they're concerned about. Their authority is about to get overturned or messed up. That's what they are concerned about. They had a good thing going according to them and they didn't want it messed up. Sounds a whole lot like what goes on in the nation's capital. Sounds a whole lot like... Now, people shouldn't get mad at Bible preachers for making a reference every once in a while to what's going on in our own country, because there's so many parallels between what went on in the Bible. These chief priests, scribes, and elders there, they're sort of like career politicians. After a while of having some power, it goes to their head. And they end up, instead of following the law, why, they just do what they want to do. They don't care what the law says. And that's how this crowd was. They'd been in charge so long, and they'd made such a good living at it, they didn't want anything to come along and mess it up. And so they're trying to guard against their authority being taken away, against their money, their power. After a while of having power, they assume that all power belongs unto them, and they're just going to do whatever they want. So there's assumed authority in verse number 27. Second of all, tonight in verse number 28, there's an attacked authority. There's an attacked authority. And it's not the Lord attacking them, but it's them attacking the Lord. He's the real authority here, by the way. It said in verse 28, "And they say unto him, by what authority doest thou these things?" And who gave thee this authority to do these things? Just like the subject of money, those who abuse positions of authority, they'll do anything to keep their authority. Going right along with lying or cheating or stealing or killing or whatever they have to do to keep themselves in a position of authority. So what do? They attack the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they did not attack him over his teaching. He'd been teaching. They did not attack him over the miracles which he had performed. They couldn't deny that. But how do they attack him? What angle do they use to try to get at the Lord Jesus Christ? Verse 28 again, they say, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? Well, they are referring to, did anybody of their group give them authority to come into there? That's what they're referring to. Did one of the chief priests, did one of the scribes, did one of that? Who told you could come in here and do what you're doing? See, he'd already been one day and turned over the money changers' tables, and this is his third day. He'd been and he'd walked in the temple, and so they're recognizing he's coming back. Who told you could come in here and do this? That's what they're attacking him about. This was their angle upon him. It had nothing to do with his teaching. They couldn't deny it. Had nothing to do with the miracles. They couldn't deny that. But who gave you authority to be here? That's the only angle of attack that they had. They couldn't bring up anything else. Not even his overturning the tables. Who gave you authority to be here? Who gave you authority to do these things? I remember when we were in Idaho and I was pastoring out there, we had a family or two that gave us some problems. Big problems. About tore the church in two a time or two. They were a real pain. And one fella, he came to me one day and he attacked me and he was just mad because I had told him the truth concerning the situation in his family. And I gave him some biblical advice and what I thought as a pastor, and it made him mad. And when he came and attacked me, he didn't attack me about what I had told him, because I'd given him good, sound biblical advice. But what he told me then, he said, well, you're just a novice. You know where it says in 1 Timothy 3 that a bishop, not a novice? Well, I'd been pastoring 10 or 12, 13 years at that time. I'm telling you, that made me mad. It really did. That's really where I started getting gray. I could just feel it coming. But he couldn't attack what I'd said. That was right. And he didn't say that in front of anybody else. That'd have made some of the other members, that'd have made them mad. But what did he attack? Just picked out one thing. Well, I was young, but I'd still been doing it a long time. If you drove a truck for 10 years, nobody would say that you're new to it. You've done it a while. You knew how to get across the country. That's the way I looked at it. And it sort of aggravated me. But that's the only thing they could find. Who give you authority to be here? Who give you authority to do these things? Now, you do know that they are not interested in the answer whatsoever. To them, it does not matter what he says, because they're just trying to trip him up. They're just trying to trick him. They're trying to make him look bad in front of anybody, in front of everybody. Anybody in the Bible that ever came to the Lord Jesus Christ with an honest question, they would get an honest answer. It may not be an answer that they liked, but if somebody came sincerely wanting to know something, the Lord would always give that person an honest answer. And we could go back just one chapter. We could look at the rich young ruler and Brother Sizemore reference to this on Sunday morning. But the rich young ruler came in Well, it'd be Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22. We'll not read all that again. But he came, he asked an honest, sincere question of the Lord Jesus. He said, "Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" He honestly wanted to know. Now, he didn't get an answer that he wanted. He wanted to hear, "You've been a good boy, you've kept the law, don't worry about it, you're going to heaven." But that's not the answer the Lord Jesus gave to him. The Bible said he looked on him and he loved him and he told him what he needed to hear. He gave him an honest answer. These people weren't sincere in their question. And these people really were not concerned with the truth whatsoever. They were just trying to trap him. They were just trying to trick him. And when the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious crowd, whenever they came trying to trip and to trap the Lord Jesus, a lot of times he just answered their question with a question of his own. And it always, I love to see the many times that the Lord Jesus turned it around on them. And that's what he did here. They came and they attacked his authority, but he in turn asked them a question. And so we see the third thing in verse number 29. We find answered authority. Verse 29, the Bible said, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things." And so he said, "You ask me a question, I'll ask you a question. And if you answer me, I'll tell you by what authority I do these things." See how he did that? And I want to be wise. I'd love to have the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ to know how to answer people, wouldn't you? I was thinking about that. The Bible talks about him in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 15. I'll just read it. The Bible says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience. That whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ." I want to be ready to give an answer to every man. The Bible says, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." Be ready to give an answer. He was ready to give an answer. Most of the time, I probably say the wrong thing, or I go away and I think about it and I said, "Oh, I wish I'd have thought of that. I wish I'd have thought of that." But the Lord Jesus never went away and said, "I wish I'd have thought of this." He knew what to say and when to say it. He knew when to talk and he knew when to keep his mouth quiet, and sometimes he did. I believe it was Pilate questioning him. The Lord Jesus didn't answer. He didn't always give an answer, but he always did the right thing. And so we have an answer here. Now, he said in verse 29, "I'm going to ask you a question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I do these things." That's fair. That's fair. Just let me ask you a question. Verse number 30, "The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me." It didn't take him 30 minutes to ask him, did it? So let me ask you something. I love how the Lord deals with these people that are trying to trip him up. And so what is he talking about in verse number 30? It's a very simple question. "The baptism of John, was it from heaven?" Now, when he says, "Was it from heaven?" Even today, the Jewish people, now not all of them, and there's a lot of different, you know, you can't just lump them all into, but a lot of Jewish people, they don't use God's name. They don't write God's name. I know an individual and I have conversed with a little bit, and when he writes the name of God, he's a Jew, he does capital G and then a dash and then a D. And so they are saying that the name of God is holy, and it is, but they don't write the name of God. They don't say the name of God. And this goes all the way back to the days of the Bible to reverence the name of God. It's holy. And you don't take the name of God in vain. But when Jesus said in verse number 30, was it from heaven or of men? That from heaven is a reference. What he's asking, was it from God or was it of men? The baptism of John, was it from God? Was it from heaven? See, he didn't say from God. But they knew what he meant. When he said from heaven, he was saying, was it from God or was it from men? And he said, answer me. Answer me. There's a good lesson here. When we are attacked, that we would respond by staying in the book. And I've said that many, many times. If we would just stay in the Bible and we would use Bible language and we would use that as the foundation of our belief, that'd keep us out of a whole lot of trouble. Where we get in trouble is just attacking back out of the flesh or, well, I believe this and I believe that. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what I believe. What matters is what the Bible says. And so the Lord Jesus, all of his answers are from the Bible, from the Word of God. He uses the Word of God. The Word of God is sharp and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And this is how he answers. He answers with a question about John, a question about the Scripture. They should have known that the Lord Jesus would have a forerunner. They should have known John was the real deal. But they weren't concerned with that. Now, number four, there's agitated authority. Look at verse 31. And they reason with themselves. Can you imagine? They say, fellas, let's huddle up here. Let's talk about this. They begin to reason and think among themselves, and maybe not even in front of the Lord Jesus, mate. And I'm just saying, maybe they said, could we have a moment to talk about that? Could we get over here? And they reasoned among themselves. They begin to talk and think among themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then did ye not believe him? But if we shall say of men, they feared the people. For all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. So you see their dilemma there. They got together and they reasoned. They talked it out among themselves. They said, if we go back and say that the baptism of John was from heaven, then he's just going to say, then why didn't you believe? Because they knew that he knew and everybody else knew that they didn't believe what John preached. And then they said, if we say that it was of men, we're afraid of everybody else because they all think that John was a prophet even though we don't think that he was. And so they're between a rock and a hard place. And what are they going to say? What are they going to answer? That's why I say agitated authority. I like what they said in verse number 33. And they answered and said unto Jesus, we cannot tell. Why, they were the religious experts. Were they not? The chief priests, the scribes, the elders, they were the ones that were supposed to know these things. They came with an intention to embarrass and harass the Lord Jesus Christ and to make him look bad. And it doesn't take but just one little sentence from him, and now they look bad. Because it really looked bad on them that they came and they said, we cannot tell. Well, we just don't know. We just don't know what the answer is. You see, all this political correctness stuff, it's been around a long time. They didn't want to upset their boat and they didn't want to, they feared the people. They had to give an answer. They tried to give an answer that would satisfy everybody. This is a political sidestepping. We just cannot tell. We just don't know. Back a few weeks ago, I watched just a little bit. If you want to see a good example of sidestepping the issue, watch these debates that are going on. And the Democrats, they had their first debate. And there's about five of them up there. Some of them I had never even heard of. But they ask a question. This is all I seen. I was watching baseball. And during the commercials, I would flip back. And I was really surprised they asked this question. They let a viewer ask a question. And this fella come on there, and he said, he wanted to ask this question. He said, "Do black lives matter or do all lives matter?" You heard that phrased? And you know, what that is asking is, where are you at on abortion? If black lives matter, don't all lives matter? And there's more black people aborted by far than any other. So is it just, and every one of them, nobody said nothing about abortion. Nobody said all lives matter. That's the right answer. Do all lives not matter? Sure they do. But they stepped around that, and you know, they got on the civil rights bandwagon and started talking about police brutality and all that, and I thought, how they didn't answer that. And I was reading in the newspaper today, I'll be fair across the board, he's talking about one of the Republican candidates and Ben Carson. I sort of like him. And they were talking about that they're surprised that he's overtaken Trump, I guess. That'll all be changed in a month. No use to get too excited one way or the other about it. But they had told him, some of the people around him, that evidently he had used a comparison between the Nazis and gun control. He said, "We don't need more gun control. They had it in Nazi Germany, and look what happened to them." And some of his, in the newspaper, is talking about some of the people close to him. They'd went up and they'd said, don't use that analogy. Don't refer to the Nazis when you're talking about gun control. And they said that they had told him and they had advised him not to make that reference anymore. And one of them said, he went right out within a few minutes and done the same thing again. So when I read that, I thought, well, I think I might like him. See, we're sick to death of all this sidestepping. Sound just like a politician. We cannot tell. We don't know. Word's still out. Let's do some more studies about the baptism of John, and let's talk to some rabbis and some chief priests, and we just don't know. We don't want to upset nobody. They were afraid of the people. They weren't interested in the truth whatsoever, but they're very agitated. Very aggravated at the Lord Jesus. And then one last thing. There's an acknowledged authority in verse number 33. They said, "We cannot tell." And Jesus answering saith unto them, "Neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things." That's in chess. That's checkmate. If you're not going to tell me, I'm not going to tell you. And we'll get into chapter number 12. They didn't run him out of the temple yet. He stayed around and did what he came to do. They had to acknowledge that he won that round at least. He won the battle without firing a shot. And he used their question that they had intended to silence him. He used their question to silence them. He's the authority. Their plan that they had constructed to quieten the Lord Jesus Christ, it backfired on them. They just had to, I don't know what they did. I don't know if they went to lunch. I don't know what they did. But the Lord Jesus went on teaching and preaching and healing in the temple. I'll close by saying this. There's a lot of people in the world today that they think they're pretty clever. They think they're pretty smart. They think that they're either highly educated or they're in the know, and poor us Bible believers, we just don't know anything. You know, there's a lot of people, they've got that attitude. They got a few little snippets that they've heard somebody else say and they'll throw out there, and they think they're being real smart. They think they're smarter than the Lord. But here's what the Bible says, and I'll close with this. Here's what the Bible says about the acknowledgement of authority. And it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor or black or white or educated or uneducated or a good person according to your estimation or a bad person. It does not matter. Here's what the Bible says about the Lord's authority, Philippians 2 and 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Everybody one day is going to acknowledge the lordship of Jesus Christ to the glory of God the Father. That's every person on the earth, under the earth. It does not matter. The right time to acknowledge his authority is now, while we have an opportunity, and to acknowledge him as Lord and Savior and ask him to save us. But a lot of people's going to mess up. And they think they're pretty smart, like these scribes and Pharisees, but really they're not being smart at all. They're being very unwise. And so I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus. I'm thankful that he went to Calvary. And I want you to read ahead and look ahead to chapter number 12. We're going to see some more things that he did there in the temple before we move along. But a lot of good things, a lot of good things.